Well, thank you so much, Vice Chairman Jensaw, and I also want to give a special thanks to Mr. James and Mr. Kinney for honoring us with your song and with your prayer for this beautiful morning. I know when we had the moment of silence for Troy Fletcher, by being quiet, you can hear the waves, you can hear the sea lions, you can hear the birds. And this is what this is about. It's about recognizing the natural world around us, trying to restore some of the damage that we've done over time, but do it in a way that honors people from the headwaters of the Klamath to the mouth of the Klamath. So this is an incredible day to celebrate this river and all that it stands for. And I want to thank you, Chairman O'Rourke, for the lovely dinner last night of salmon. I feel a little guilty that we had salmon, given how few fish there are right now, but we are confident that over time they will return as we work together to restore fisheries and also support agriculture. It's a day to reaffirm our shared commitment to restore and heal the Klamath Basin, and a day to acknowledge the incredible and brave partners and leaders who, despite setbacks, stayed at the table to develop a path forward for the largest river restoration in the history of the United States. So today we are signing not one but two important agreements that will help shape the future of the basin, and we won't be done with these. We have more work to continue. First is an agreement that will follow a process spearheaded by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, that we expect will result in the removal of 4 dams on the Klamath River beginning in 2020. Thank you all for coming together to make that happen. And second, a separate but just as important agreement to help irrigators in the basin by addressing any regulatory or financial impacts that may result from reestablishing fish runs to the upper Klamath Basin, and that's called the Klamath Power and Facilities Agreement. And we know that we have great partners at the table from the upper basin down to here, so thank you very much for making that happen as well. So the bottom line is these historic agreements are important initial steps to enable the largest dam removal project in the history of our nation and to provide a roadmap for long-term restoration and sustainability for tribes, for fisheries, for agriculture, and for water users across the basin. Despite the setback of the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement expiring without congressional action last year, the Klamath Basin community set aside their differences and came together to forge a path forward toward a solution. And these agreements reflect the desire of the community to move beyond the water impasse of years gone by and agree on how to share and manage limited water resources. And of course, we feel that even more at a time of drought and a time of climate change. Coming together is the only path forward. With the amended KHSA, Klamath Hydrocarbon Settlement Agreement, and the Klamath Power and Facilities Agreement, we now have the tools to restore the basin and to sustain our farming and ranching heritage, again from the headwaters to this beautiful ocean mouth right behind us. Local tribes throughout the basin will have the potential to thrive, both culturally and economically. This river is not only a source of cultural pride and inspiration and soul, but it is also an important part of their economic future. And fishing communities along the West Coast will have more fish to catch as hundreds of miles of habitat will be opened up after a century of obstruction from dams that have prevented salmon from reaching their historic spawning grounds. I had the privilege in my old job of being there for the first chunks to be removed from the taking down of the Elwha dams, the 2 dams on the Elwha River. You could see the fish pounding their faces against that dam with their red backs as they tried to get upstream and, of course, had no path forward. The same thing has happened on these dams here. And to see in that dam removal project how fast the salmon have returned way up into the tributaries, faster than the scientists thought they ever would, and to see how fast the shoreline has been healed, which will happen right here at the mouth of the Klamath River, is a true inspiration and something that I am confident we're going to get to here as well. So we are changing the history. We're changing the history of this basin with these Klamath agreements because of the courage, the leadership, and the perseverance of the tribes, key leaders from the states, Pacific Corp, the federal government, and many members of Congress who have been ardent supporters in the face of congressional inaction, including Congressman Jared Huffman, who's here with us today. Thank you, Jared. Every time I'm with Jared, whales jump offshore. It's pretty amazing, so we need to spend more time together. So I want to spend just a few minutes recognizing a lot of these folks and acknowledging their tremendous efforts, their sleepless nights, their tireless negotiations, and their commitment to the future of this basin. Let me start with the Governors Brown of California and Oregon. Very fortunate to share the stage with you, and I can't think of a better signing table than a fish cleaning table. That's just so symbolic. Thank you. The relationship between these two states and the federal government on this issue is a shining example of what governments can do and what we can achieve when we work closely together. It was clear that in order to achieve the dam removal, someone other than the Department of the Interior would have to step forward, and you both answered that call. Our teams have been seamless, and this is due to your leadership and that of your senior staff. So I want to particularly call out Richard Wickman of Oregon, Chuck Bonham, and Tom Gibson of California. Richard, Chuck, and Tom, where are you out there? There they are, raising their hands. So much of this success is owed to you. I also want to call out tribal leaders from the Karuk tribe, Chairman Buster Atterbury, from the Klamath tribe, Chairman Don Gentry, from the Yurok tribe, Chairman Tommy O'Rourke, and your teams. Could we give them a round of applause for their support? And to Pacific Corp, Stephen Bird, CEO, and his leadership team of Andrea Kelly and Sarah Kamen, can we have you raise your hands and let's acknowledge them for their important work. It would have been very easy and understandable for a corporation to go back to relicensing and to walk away from a settlement. But instead of that, you stayed, you rolled up your sleeves, you dedicated yourself to finding a solution. You had a number of tribal members encouraging you along the way, as I understand, in Scotland and in Omaha. And you did this in a way that takes care of your interests and also those of your customers. And through it, you have proven that environmental stewardship and industry can work together and achieve spectacular results. And to my colleagues, yes, give them a round of applause. To my colleagues from the federal government, I'll say that it's not easy to be a federal government official. It is easy to blame the federal government for everything. I've come to appreciate this, and my skin is a lot thicker than when I took this job. But we have an incredible partnership in the federal government, particularly between the Department of the Interior and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So I want to acknowledge my friend and partner in so many ways, Dr. Kathy Sullivan, and her team, who has been terrific from NOAA. Could we give her a round of applause and the NOAA team? I will also say that I have a right arm that I couldn't do without, and that is Deputy Secretary Mike Connor, who knows these issues deeply and has been involved in them for more than a decade, and his right arm on the Klamath Agreement, John Bezdek, who leads our federal team, the scientists, the technical experts, and the attorneys who made this possible. And watching him in action here, it shows that he's really critical. So thank you, John and Mike, both standing over there. I also want to acknowledge and thank all of those who are here that rely on water for their livelihoods. We all rely on water for our life, but some rely on it more deeply than others for their livelihoods. And I want to particularly call out Scott White and Greg Addington. The concerns that you have expressed on behalf of the Klamath water users have been very, very helpful. Appreciated the meeting that we had this morning. I'm proud to be with you here today to sign the Klamath Power and Facilities Agreement, and I know that this is just the beginning of the work that we have to do together. So could we give Scott, Greg, and the Klamath water users a round of applause? Thank you for being here. So this agreement that we're about to sign, the Klamath Power Agreement, acknowledges our ongoing commitment to you, the water users in the Upper Klamath, and reestablishes the framework for our ongoing partnership for the restoration of the basin. To the ranchers and the farmers above Upper Klamath Lake, I had the honor of standing with you in one of the most moving and powerful ceremonies I've had in my time as Secretary of the Interior, almost 2 years ago to the day, as we celebrated signing the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement with you and the Klamath Tribes. I know the termination of the KBRA and the upcoming meet and confer process that we have is called the Upper Basin Agreement into question, but know this, on the record, for the record, we are as committed to this agreement today as the day that it was signed. We know there's a lot of work to do for you, for the Klamath Tribes, but with the great leadership of Oregon's Governor Brown and her colleague Richard Whitman, her team, Chairman Gentry of the Klamath Tribes and his colleagues, we are confident that we can find a path forward that works for both you and the tribes. And I want to take just a moment to address the concerns of those who think that dam removal is still unproven. I gave you my own example from witnessing what happened in the Elwha, but our science and engineering process has been among the most rigorous to evaluate the effects and benefits of dam removal, including work from my colleagues at the U.S. Geological Survey. 50 new scientific reports, 4 independent science panels, and multiple levels of independent peer review point us to the conclusion that the largest limiting factor for the Klamath fishery are the dams. It's time we move forward with a workable solution for all water users, and that's why we've got this two-pronged approach to remove the dams and protect the users along the way. So while today is a historic day in the Klamath Basin, it is just the first of many steps needed to restore the water and the fisheries resources of this basin, as well as the communities that rely upon them. So many of these efforts will require your ongoing support as constituents of members of Congress. They're going to require congressional action. And the agreement commits the signatories to actively cooperate with all Klamath Basin stakeholders, the members of Congress, the tribes, the farmers, and others, to develop additional agreements over the next year to offer comprehensive solutions to these issues. And I'd sure love to have those done before my job goes away. So I am proud to be part of your incredible team. Look forward to continuing the work together and the progress we'll make. It's because of your vision, your courage, and your leadership that we have hope for the seemingly intractable battles. And I believe strongly that those of you here can set a path forward for thoughtful, constructive, sustainable land management going forward for many generations to come. And so with that, I am proud to introduce to you a leader among leaders who understands that economic growth and conservation must go hand in hand, the governor of the great state of California, the Honorable Jerry Brown.